From our hearts, let's magnify his name together. We worship you, Jesus. I glorify you. I lift you up. I exalt you above all others, oh God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. It's wonderful to know that even when the natural world that we're part of is in turmoil and confusion, as it is tonight, amen, our country's struggling, and we're in a treacherous place right now. There's a whole lot of things out there we could worry about, but you know what? I feel just as peaceful in this service tonight. I feel the peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen. And I'm very content to spend some time in the presence of the Lord. Nothing like it, is it? Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Begin reading our text in verse number 7. Amen. I too welcome all of you here in the house of the Lord tonight. And God is here, and that's the main thing. And when he's here, good things are going to happen. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Amen. Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Everybody say well-doing. Well-doing. Say, don't get tired. Don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That verse number 9 has just been really, really working in my heart and on my mind here for the last couple of days. And it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. This is a tremendous passage of scripture that I've taken this one, looking at this one verse here, but I just couldn't get out of my mind, just over and over in my mind, I'm thinking the weariness of well-doing. The weariness, doing well, doing good, doing what's right, and it becomes very wearisome, very tiring. And I just want to talk about that a little while tonight, see if we can get some greater understanding and get some help from God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Now, in this passage of scripture I just read in your hearing, we're reintroduced again, as we see many places in scripture, to what we call the law of sowing and reaping. And it's very clear here what it means, what Jesus had in mind, or what Paul had in mind when he spoke through him. Jesus himself many times used the sowing of seed, and the sower went forth to do this, that, and the other. And so this is an oft-used comparison made in Scripture that shows a relationship, a correlation between natural law and spiritual law. There is a natural world that we're all a part of, and then there's a spiritual world. It's an unseen world, but it's just as real as the world that can be seen. And the interesting thing about that is that natural laws and spiritual laws parallel one another. And this is why Jesus found it so useful in teaching the multitudes of people to borrow from the natural laws of sowing and reaping and other things that he used repeatedly. And by reminding them of the meanings and all that's involved in the natural law, then it was easy for them to grasp the spiritual law. So that's what we're looking at here tonight. He's telling us that you can't sow to fleshly, carnal, worldly things, ungodly things, and reap a good harvest. If you sow to the flesh, you're of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. That word corruption used numerous places in the New Testament, and it really is talking about that state of when you die and your body begins to decay away. That's the corruption that it's talking about. So if you sow to your fleshly appetites and desires, if your life is centered around doing what your unregenerate flesh wants to do, your unsanctified flesh, your whatever you want to call it, rebellious flesh, your carnal flesh, that carnal mind. Amen. If that's what you give into, if that's what you cater, you got a bad harvest coming someday. You're headed down the road of destruction. Amen. You're headed down that broad avenue that so many follow upon that Jesus spoke about. But he said that ends up in destruction. That's where you're going to end up, is in the lake of fire following what the crowd is doing. He said, but there's a straight way. There's a narrow way. There's a gate that you got to go through. Amen. It's narrow. It's straight. It's difficult. Amen. But you know what? It's going where we want to go. It leads to life everlasting. And that's what I'm interested in tonight, is to reap the reward of the faithful and someday to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so this law of sowing and reaping, it's as old as the world is. But there's positive and negatives to it. In other words, if you was to take tares like the enemy did and sow it in somebody's field, that's a bad situation. Weeds take over and destroy and choke out the crop and so forth. But when you sow good seed in soil that's been worked properly, then you have something very good that has been produced and will be produced, and that is a great harvest of food, things that can sustain people, and things that people can use to trade or to sell and use the money to buy other things that they need, a means of commerce. And all of this is just depends upon what you're sowing and how you're taking care of it. And so in this passage of scripture, we come down to this verse and it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. And I'm thinking, do what? Mm-hmm. Let me read that again. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, okay, what are we talking about here? He goes on to let us know. The weariness of well-doing is having to wait a long time to see the promised reward. That it doesn't always happen the way we think it ought to happen, as quickly as we think it should happen. And actually, it's an opportunity that gives the devil could you say a little bit of a hold maybe in our mind? How many of you know he is an opportunist? He knows how to cause us trouble. He knows how to get in your mind and leave those little lingering doubts with a little sprinkling of some questions for you to ponder on. Such as, if God is faithful, and if God loves you as his child, why are you going through this trial you're going through right now? If God really loved his people, would he allow them to suffer? Would he allow them to go through difficult times? Let me tell you something. When God saved us, it was a spiritual transformation. Your body, your mind, my body, my mind is as susceptible, amen, to sickness and disease as anybody out there in the world. Amen. God did not promise us divine health. There is such a thing as divine healing. And thank God for every time he touches us, every time he heals us, everything that he does for us. I'm very, very thankful. Amen. I think I just want to, it just come to my mind as I said, I'm very thankful. I want to thank God that he healed me 2 days into COVID. Instantly, completely healed my body that was aching. Amen. And it was burning, and it passed in a moment of time. Jesus is a healer. But my poor wife and my granddaughter, they were sick at the same time, and it didn't happen for them. It'd be easy for you to look at someone else and say, Well, does God love them more than he loves me? You know, there's just a whole lot of things God does that he doesn't tell us what he has in mind. It's kind of like a test. If he gives you the answer before you even have an opportunity to take the test, he's ruined the whole situation. And God knows how to test us. It's through testing that we learn that we have some areas that need some attention. Amen. Some areas we need to work on. Amen. It's also, it's like the refiner's fire. It purifies us. Amen. Tribulations do a good work in our life if we keep our spirit and attitude right. So he said, let's not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We have a real good clue here what it's talking about. And I'm sure if you've served God more than a month or two, you have come to these times where, you know, you got a little impatient about some things. Amen. God, I want patience and I want it right now. That shows your desire and your determination, but it doesn't show that you have, well, it does show that you really do need patience. Now, it's one thing to get impatient with your wife or your husband or your kids or whomever. Amen. But I'll tell you what, don't get impatient with God. That's not a good thing. Amen. But he said, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. What's some of the well-doing things we can do? Well, praying is one of the things we do that's well-doing. We're talking to God. We're seeking the Lord for ourselves, for others. We're interceding and on and on. That's one thing. There's many other things. We can talk to people about the Lord. We can explain to them the plan of salvation. We can invite them to church. We can teach them a Bible study. That's well-doing. Right? How many would agree that's a good thing to be doing as a child of God? Even coming to the house of God, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, be not weary in well-doing. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten tired of going to church? Not the idea of going to church, but your body tired and weary because of the long hours you're working, having revival, late services, night after night. Amen. Your body and mind can get weary in well-doing. And it's not a sin to be weary in well-doing. But it is an area that you need to be aware of and be careful of, because it can be an opportunity for the devil, amen, to mess with your mind and cause you to lose your victory. Take your joy from you, make you feel like you're being mistreated, and just put all kinds of thoughts into your mind, which we do not need. Amen. And everybody say, praise the Lord. And he went on to say, don't get weary in well-doing. So every time there's an opportunity, the next verse says, and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. There's a lot of people that need a word of encouragement. There's a lot of people that need a helping hand. There's a lot of people that needs a friend. Amen. And as we minister unto others, we are doing a very good thing. Amen. And we just need to keep on looking for opportunities. Amen. To continue in well-doing. Do you know why? For in D-U-E, due season, you shall reap if you faint not. And you know what that simply means? It means in God's own time. Not when I think it should happen, not when you think it should happen, but in God's own time, that's when it's going to happen. Praise God. Amen. The children of Israel, 400 years in Egyptian bondage, 400 years crying out for help and strength and deliverance. But for a number of years, right toward the end of that period of time, they were crying out to God. And the Bible says, and the Lord heard. Amen. He saw, he heard, and he remembered. Somebody said, 400 years he forgot. No, he didn't forget. What that word remember means is It's as one would mark a date on a calendar. And when it says God remembered, what it means is that day that he had marked on his calendar arrived. And God said, all right, now it's time to do something about this. Amen. We never know how close we are to that day that God has marked on his heavenly calendar. We may be only hours away or a week away. We just don't know. Amen. But don't let the devil discourage you and cheat you out of what God has promised you. Amen. Because the promises of God are not maybe and hope so, but the promises of God are yea and amen. Hallelujah. God cannot change his mind. God cannot repent. God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie because his very essence is truth. In him, there's no darkness at all. There's no shadow turning. There's no variableness. Amen. So when God promises something, you've got a sure thing to get a hold of. It may not come tonight. It may not come tomorrow. But bless your heart, it's marked on God's heavenly calendar. And the only one that can cancel that out is you. If by your unbelief and bitterness of heart, you quit believing the promise of God, you're going to miss out on your payday. Payday's coming. The harvest. Amen. It's coming. You're going to miss out on it if you're not careful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I'm starting to feel God wanting to work in this place right now. Amen. How many of you feel the touch of God in your heart right now? Amen. God wants to stir up your faith. God wants to give you some rest for your weary mind and spirit. Amen. He wants to lift you up out of that season of doubt and fear and depression and worrying. And he wants to lift all that off of you tonight. Amen. And give you a real good dose of Holy Ghost joy. Amen. Let you get a good drink out of that well of water that springs up into everlasting life. Praise God. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise together. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, some of the words in the English language amaze me because they say the same word. It means something different about it. It can be totally opposite. Just here lately, it's just kind of been on my mind about an impatient patient. There aren't very many patient patients out there. How many of you healthcare workers know that? They're the only one on that whole floor, and they deserve the full-time attention of the entire staff on that floor, and maybe one or two from another floor would be a big help. But sometimes we just aren't that patient. And if you tend to be an impatient person, in other words, you don't like to wait, you don't like to mess around, fool around, unless we're going to do it, let's do it. Amen. Make up your mind. Are we going to go fishing or are we going to cut bait? Let's do something. Amen. And sometimes we kind of get that way with the things of God. We get impatient. And I'm going to tell you, waiting, the clock, I'm telling you, I wish I had some way to prove it, but I know that when you're waiting and waiting, that a clock goes into slow motion. I mean, what normally, if you'd been doing something worthwhile and something you enjoy, would have been 10 minutes, has become 2 hours. I know I've waited on the phone anymore. That's what you get to do. It's amazing how all this equipment they have and all the money they spend on it. And they really work on it because they want it to be able to keep repeating the same. We'll be returning. We'll be with you in a moment of time. Meantime, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they just, you loop through it. And then here we go, loopity-loo, again and again and again. It didn't take me very long to get impatient. And there's something about that. It wears you out. It grinds on you. It messes with you, man. I got so many things I could be doing besides sitting here hanging on this phone. But if I don't get a hold of them, they're going to charge me $779 that somebody else charged on my card. I got to hang with them here a while. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so there's this feeling of weariness. And sometimes if it's an unexplainable lengthy wait, it becomes almost despairing. Like, I'm never going to get anything done. And I'm going to tell you, when we're living for God, when we're living in this world, which is where you're going to live until you live somewhere else, and hopefully you're going to like it better than you do where you're at now. That is the point. But there's going to be times when it's like God seems to take delight in just letting us say, just wait. You'll find out. Yeah. You ever had God put you on hold? Please stay with us on the line. Gabriel will be with you shortly. I don't know about you, but Gabriel, where are you?
Talk to your supervisor.
Yeah, I know your boss. He's my daddy. You better get on his phone. Talk to me. What I'm trying, I know it's a little ridiculous way to look at this, but I'm trying to help us understand that there's just irritations and there's aggravation and there's weariness and there's despair and this indescribable feeling the longer you have to wait and there's no explanation for it readily available and you just, it's not a good time for one of the kids to come in, mama, 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 I'm busy, I'm on the phone. Satan knows where you're at tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. There's several people on the sound of my voice tonight that I'm starting to describe what you're going through right now. We've come through a tremendous season of revival and services and good things happening. And God is still working, but, you know, it changes. We go into another mode. Not that we don't continue to reach for souls and try to add to the church daily. We were doing that before the revival started, if you remember. We did it during revival. We're going to continue to do it because that's what it's about. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. But we need to be very careful that we don't allow the things that's going on in the world around us, in politics. And honestly, people, I'm concerned about our nation. But at the same time, I know who holds the future. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who knows what tomorrow holds. Amen. And I've got confidence in him that he's going to take care of us and get us through whatever. Amen. And so we do need to pray for our country and our leaders. In fact, the Bible tells us to do that, and we tend to fuss and cuss instead of discuss them with God. We really should. I know they're not godly people, most of them, many of them. But at the same time, don't you want God to influence them to do what's good for this nation? That blesses all of us. That helps all of us. Amen. So anyway, here we are, and we could focus on those things, and those are things that I can't do anything about. I cast my vote. I don't know if it got stolen or not, but I cast it. If you stole my vote, you better bring it back. But I'm going to tell you, do not discount and doubt God's promises. I believe I read, lo, I'm with you always. even to the end of the world. I believe I read, take no thought wherewithal thou shalt eat, be clothed with, so forth. Your heavenly Father knows you have needs of these things. Is that in your Bible or not? I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Well, sometimes that might be the case, but I know who can provide. Hallelujah. I've had times in my life when I didn't have money to pay my bills, and God gave exactly what I needed right on time. Amen, amen. The property down here where our school and family life center is, we purchased that at the same time we purchased the land to build this building here. There's actually about 3, 4, 5, 6 parcels of land here that we've bought at various times and put all this together. But anyway, it belonged to a church group that decided they weren't going to build there. And we got a decent price for it. And they were kind to us. They gave us a year to pay for this. No payments, no interest. Just at the end of the year, we owed the sum. I don't remember for sure exactly how much it was. It seemed 50-some thousand we owed on it. And we'd paid some down. Anyway, so the day before, we went through a whole bunch of stuff, okay? We were involved in lawsuits. The state took a building away from us by eminent domain and gave us much, much less than its value as a brand new building. Put us out of a church that we was only in for a year and a half after working 10 years to get it. We was in a year and a half and back in a storefront. Anyway, I don't want to go into all the details, but it wasn't a good time. And so things didn't happen the way that it was supposed to have happened. As far as our money coming in, they withheld our money for a good period of time. And the day before this note was due, I don't know, we didn't hardly have any money in church treasury. I don't know if we had enough to buy a book of postage stamps. I mean, we were cutting it close. And I got a call from our attorney that had represented us in these court battles. And anyway, some of the money that they owed us, they had disputed it and said they didn't have to pay it. And they took it to the state Supreme Court, Oklahoma State Supreme Court. And they had a hearing. Of course, it takes about a year for that to happen. So we wait about a year and they have a hearing. And they voted against us 7-1, which meant that they was beating us out of about $100,000 they weren't going to have to pay. And our attorney, he appealed again. And this time they went 8-0 in our favor. They filed again and it come back 8-0 our favor. 4 times. This is on the law books here in Oklahoma. You could look it up if you wanted to. I don't remember the case number. I tried to forget it that day. But anyway, I didn't know what we were going to do. And the attorney called and he said, Pastor, I said, yes. He said, this is attorney Robert Nichols. And he said, you're not going to believe what I'm holding in my hand right now. And I said, well, I might could. I said, tell me. He said, I've got a check here in my hand. I think it was either $97,000 and some change or $98,000 and some change. And a portion of that, a good portion of it, was part of his fees that they owed him. But they, anyway, when he told us what our part was, it was just a few dollars over. Well, I say a few dollars, mean like $6 or $7, $8 over the exact amount that we owed to pay off this property. And I know they were nice people and I could have explained to them and they would have given us some more time. But you know what? That's not the way God wants us to do business. And so he said, do you want me to just transfer it to your account? Do you want me to do this, that, or something else? I said, well, Are you going to be there at the office for a little bit? He said, well, yeah. I said, if you don't mind, I'll just come on by right now and get it. I'm out the door while I'm talking to you. Oh, that was a great feeling when I was able to pay that bill. But God miraculously provided. Now, you know, in between those 4 years, three, 4 years there, do you think I didn't get impatient a time or two? Frustrated with the system? God, why? You know why? The why was because God wanted to show us that he can take care of things and he does things right on time. The old song says he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And I can say amen to that because I've seen God move so many times. Amen. Through the years. Amen. So, there's just things that can happen during this waiting time. And the weariness of doing well. Be not weary in well doing. Because it takes, sometimes it seems so long before you get the answer, before you get the result. And the devil tries to get you to doubt God's promises. He'll put thoughts in your mind about, I thought God was supposed to be faithful. I thought God cared for us. Then he'll go even lower than that. He'll start dragging up past mistakes and failures that you've had in your life. And I'm going to tell you the worst one of all, and I'm fixing to wrap this up here, but the worst one of all to me is when he uses good testimonies of other people to beat you up with. Okay? I got a bad back. Bruce Stewart has a bad back. And I've had a bad back longer than he has, and mine's hurts more than his does. And I've been prayed for many, many times. And I've asked God. I believe God. I've promised God. I've done everything I know to do. And Brother Stewart, we have a service. And we both get prayed for. And he gets his back healed and mine gets worse. And the devil says, yeah, God's not fair, but here's the truth of the matter. When we see that happen, we should rejoice. Number one, because our brother's not suffering any longer. Number two, God did it and he gets the glory. Number three, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number four, he's no respecter of persons, so I'm next. You know, it's just up to you which way you want to take it. Amen. But here's the one that hurts me the worst, and I know it hurts God. And that's when people say, they get discouraged and they'll say foolish things sometimes. I don't know what good it does for me to pray because God never answers my prayers. Oh, be careful. You know, he may not have answered some prayers that you prayed, but I've heard people pray prayers and they said God told him he was going to do thus and so. And I preached their funeral and God had not yet done thus and so. But guess what? I got to preach the message when the one that was their child that God had promised was going to save when they prayed through. All right? And I even got, they passed on to their reward sometime later and I preached their funeral as well. What I'm telling you is, your prayer might outlive your natural life. But the main thing is, if God promised you something and you believe it, he is going to fulfill it. So don't let the devil try those things. And here, I'm going to end in this verse of scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. God said through Paul, there hath no temptation, call that a test, call it a trial, it all means the same, taken you, but such as is common to man. You're going through a test right now. You're going through a trial. But God is faithful. Devil, you're a liar. Who will not suffer, that word there means allow you to be tempted or tested. Above that you are able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know that old wicked king that put those Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace didn't know that there was a defect in his furnace. God had so engineered it that there was a fire escape out of that fiery furnace. Praise God. They heated it up. What was it? Four times hotter than it was supposed to be heated. Those that cast them in there were so overcome with the heat, they fell dead. And the king looks down there and says, whoa, what's that? How many men did I cast in the fire? How many was it? Three? Are you sure? There's four. And they're walking around. And they're not being consumed by the fire. Amen. And what was it? God did not put more upon them than what they were able to bear. Now, they were able to bear standing up for what they believed in, even though it brought persecution. They stood up to the king. Amen. He said, I'm going to throw you in that furnace if you don't renege and go ahead and renounce what you just said and bow down when they play those horns again to that big image of me. He said, king, we can't do that. The God we serve, he is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, we're still going to serve him. Now, the devil can't whip you when you've got that kind of a determination. You know, if I like the way everything goes and I don't have any problems and everything is good, then I'm gonna serve the Lord. No, you can't make deals like that for God. When you're going to serve God, you give him everything. Your heart, your life, amen, your time, your emotions, your talents, even your money belongs to him. You'll do with it whatever he tells you to do with it if you want his blessings continue. But he said, with that test, just look around. God has prepared a way to escape. You're going to get out of this. You're going to get out of this because God never put you in a test that there's not a way out of. Amen, amen. You want to stand with me? Praise God. Lord, I praise your name. Let's just talk to the Lord together for a moment. God, I worship you. I glorify you. I exalt your name, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to thy name, Jesus. Glory be to thy name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Oh, God, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Praise your name, God. 21st chapter of Numbers, verse 4. Children of Israel were getting closer and closer to their promised reward. They went through an area, and a lot of the different people, the tribes that lived in that area, rose up against them. And captured some of the Israelites, killed some folks. And in Numbers 21 and 4, this little excerpt from one verse of scripture, it says, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The soul of the people. That's the heart, the seat of who we are. And they were just had all they could handle. They were tired. They were weary. They were wore out. We're discouraged. It's not sin to be discouraged. Number one, Mr. Devil. Amen. He can make anybody sick. He can make anybody discouraged, that negative outfit. But we don't want to stay there. We want to begin to go back and rehearse the promises of God. I love you, Jesus. I praise your name, O Holy God. Thank you for your presence in this house, Lord. God, I pray that you would bring encouragement to those that are discouraged tonight. That you would strengthen those that are weak in their body from sickness. From those that are weak, oh God, because of trials, temptations, and tribulations that they've had to cope with. Those that are facing pressure at home, pressure on the job, pressure in their family. God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch them. You would lighten their load tonight. That they would feel your presence, your joy, your peace that only you can give. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, I bless your name. I bless your name. God, help this people to look through eyes of faith in the midst of the trial until they can see that way of escape that you have provided for them. Hallelujah. Why don't somebody pray right now and say, God, show me that way of escape. Show it to me right now, Lord. Show me that way of escape. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, I worship you. I worship you. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, when you really have a friend that you can trust, you'll confide in them about things that you won't tell anybody else. And you really expect them and believe that they are going to protect your confidentiality. You know, we need to get in the house of God, we're brothers and sisters, to where we can be a little more transparent. There's too much facade. There's too much artificial smile. Everything is fine when it's not fine. And the Bible talks about praying one for another. How can we pray for one another when we hide from one another that we need prayer? Does that make sense to anybody? Times that God comes into a service like this when he wants to minister and help folks. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward here in just a minute. But some of you, time and again, you've stayed back at your seat because you didn't want anybody to think you were going through something or that you'd, you know, they might think I did something wrong or whatever else that you might have come up with that bothers you or that the devil has thrown at you. Amen. But I'm going to ask you, would you just be honest enough? I want to pray for you. Sometimes God shows me people that need prayer. And there is a lady here that she doesn't know this. But God has dealt with me that she is going through a terrible, terrible trial. And she's very depressed by it and frustrated. And this is a wonderful person, wonderful person. But this is the kind of things I'm talking about. You got to have a good friend or somebody you can talk to. Amen. You can't, if it's getting bigger than you are, amen, call for prayer. That's what a pastor's for. I promise you I'll go to prayer for you. And I won't forget either. Amen. But I feel real burdened for several people in this place tonight. And if you're just weary. All I'm asking you, just weary because of the way. The things you're dealing with. All the sickness and being off work and not having the income that you normally would have and other things perhaps that you're dealing with. Hey, God wants to help you tonight. He cares about you. He cares about your situation. Amen. If you're having some kind of a spiritual struggle, God really does care about you. So any of you that just need the church to pray for you, amen. Whether you're members of this church or visitor, everybody's welcome here. We don't make any difference about that when it comes to praying and seeking God. Amen. Is there anybody that wants to come down to the front and just say, you know, I just need my brothers and sisters to pray for me. I need some encouragement. I need some strength. I need my faith renewed. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I worship your name. I glorify you, Jesus. God bless you, good folks. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, it's been a rough time that we've been going through. But God hasn't forsaken his people. God hasn't forgotten who you are. Amen. He's got what you need tonight. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Church family, would you begin to gather toward the front? Amen. If you feel a burden for a certain one, come up, put your hand on their back, your arm around their shoulders. Come on, let's minister to one another right now. Let's minister to one another. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, my Savior, my Savior, my Savior, my Savior. Oh, God, I bless your wonderful name. I exalt you. I adore you, Jesus. Jesus.